Amen. Is that your desire this morning? His ways are the best ways. Amen. It's a blessing to just know His ways. There was a time when we didn't know His ways. We were, as Paul put it, we were as all others, right? But then one day He showed us His way. And ever since, He's been showing you His ways. Amen. And all of His ways lead to good things, lead you closer to Him. Amen. And further from the life that you once lived. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. So we're excited to have our brother Josh Martin with us this morning. He hails from Pawnee, Oklahoma. And if you're not familiar with geography here in the U.S., it's about a two-day drive, I think, from here, if you were to try to take it by car, kind of in the middle of the country. And there was one particular year that we had our watch night service where we were just impressed by the Lord to have all the Martin brothers come and minister. And then Mom and Dad were living up Payson, thank you. Yes, in the Payson area, you know, this place for charades. It's kind of like, so we were able to get Mom and Dad, the whole family. They're all working for the Lord and serving the Lord, and they're kind of spread out. And so it was kind of twofold. We wanted an opportunity for them to be blessed, to be together, New Year's time as a family. And not feel like they're shirking any responsibilities or whatever. But at the same time, we'll work for food. We put them to work here, and their daughters sang and different ones. And so it was just a wonderful time. And I think, didn't it snow the next morning or that night? I think it did. We had a stone cat that my wife had out front that it's kind of like a doorstop, I think. And she'd set it up on our little wall, and me with my dangerous sense of humor, I had posted a picture and I said, our poor cat, we left it outside and this is what we found this morning, Well, anybody could tell, you would think, that it wasn't a real cat, but I got a lot of feedback, so I'm careful about that. Well, how could you do that? That's so cruel. It's not a real cat. In this day of AI now, I guess you better really be careful, huh? So we met up with Brother Josh at meetings this last June in New Mexico, and I didn't know that he had been ministering, and so we got to discussing, and I told him, well, we'd sure want to get you out here when it's convenient, and so he got a hold of us a month or so ago, and we arranged for him to be with us this morning, and so we're looking forward to it. So he saw this, we were just reminiscing a little bit, the last time that he was here, it had to be before 2018, so he saw this building when the wood, this marvelous wood, was covered up with real dark paint, and there were light fixtures with cast iron, wrought iron, and chains, so it almost looked like a dungeon instead of a church, right? And so we know that one of the blessings, we wouldn't want to go through it again, the fire that we went through, but one of the blessings from the restoration is all of this beautiful wood getting uncovered, so as well as some other things. Is you can't outgive God. Amen. And He will, all things work together for good. We believe that with all of our hearts. So anyway, they just recently had a baby, just month ago or so, I think, and he's out doing the work of an evangelist. So we want him to have his liberty this morning, and we're going to pull on the word. And this evening, Lord willing, there'll be a youth-oriented service, but it's certainly open for all of us, and so we want to be in prayer about that as well. And so with that, without further ado, he counts the stars. And it's good to have Mike with us this morning. Bless you. He counts the stars on the calm. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Makes the mountains and the sea. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. Can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. Amen. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain.
Just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Can we sing that one more time? He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, tear that I cry. He knows my name, when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I'll know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Amen. Are you thankful for that this morning? He knows your name, and your name is engraved on the palm of his hand. He's never going to forget about you. I was listening to Brother Brandon this morning, and he was telling the story about the little girl that went to see the king there in Canada. And she had a little flag, and she was waving it, and the teacher saw her crying. And she would ask her, well, did you not see the king? Yes, I seen her, or seen him. Did you not wave your flag? Yeah, I waved my flag. Then she would ask her, well, why are you crying? She says, well, I seen the king, but he didn't see me. And he says, that's not the way it is with King Jesus. He says, no matter how little you do, he sees it. And that was encouraging, because sometimes we feel like we're insignificant. We might not be doing much for the kingdom of God. Might be just a housewife or just a mother raising your children. But God sees the little things, and he remembers you. He's not overlooking you, but he sees you. And I'm so thankful that he knows our name. Are you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Well, if you would have your Bibles, let's open our scriptures to 1 Peter 1 and 1. We'll read that down to the second verse, then Galatians 3 and 28. It is good to be with y'all here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be ministering by your pastor. I was ministering at Brother Bryant Duffick's meeting this last couple of days. So it worked out that we was able to be here today. My family's not with me, so you'll have to forgive me. We have a one-month-old baby, and we also have a two-year-old and a four-year-old. So my wife's life is pretty busy with three children now, and so they're at home there. She's getting some rest. But I do bring greetings from my pastor, Brother Wendell Martin, and the saints there at New Life Outreach send their greetings. It's just good to be with y'all today, see all the friends. It's been a long time since I've been here. It was before the fire, and it's incredible to see the building the Lord's blessed y'all with. Amen. But 1 Peter 1 and 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In Galatians 3 and 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. Amen. Can we bow our heads this morning? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how humbled we are by your presence that we feel this morning, Lord. God, we're thankful for the promise that you've given us where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be here in our midst. And I would hear your prophets say, if that ain't true, there's not a heaven. Heaven's not real. But Lord, we believe there's a real place called heaven, and we believe that you are gathered together with us, Lord. Lord, you know the needs of your people that is in this place today, Father. I ask as the word would come forth, Lord, may it come forth in anointing, Father, and authority, Father. God, whatever the needs may be, Lord, I ask that you can, Lord, you're able to change circumstances and change lives, Father. We ask that you would just have preeminence in this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm just a simple preacher, so I would have a simple thought, but it would be on the lines of elected strangers. And Peter is addressing this to the strangers scattered throughout these places that he's mentioning. And when you look up the word stranger, it's always connected with pilgrim and with sojourner. And the children of Israel was always likened unto these things. You can look at Leviticus 25 and 23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. You can look at Hebrews 11 and 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. And I believe that's our confession as well. We're strangers and we're pilgrims upon the earth today. But I believe we have a destination that we're longing and we're striving for. And Brother Branham would say a little something you might look at in the scripture. Those who sought this new city acted different. They professed that they were pilgrims and strangers, but on the side of Cain, they became fugitives and renegades. But Christians were pilgrims and strangers. A fugitive has no home. A renegade is a horrible person. But a pilgrim is something real from a real land in another nation, trying to find his way home, professing by his living that he has something, that he's from another country. And as I came across that quote, I liked how Brother Branham put it. A pilgrim is something real, and he has something that he's professing by his living, that he has something, and he's trying to get back to where he's come from. So a pilgrim ain't just somebody that calls himself a pilgrim, but he has a life of a pilgrim. And whenever you look at a sojourner, many times you think of somebody that has no direction, they have no future, they have no ambition. But in reality, a pilgrim has more of an ambition than that of the locals. because they have nothing here they can point to. They might not have a house, might not have land, they might not have a car, but they have one thing in mind. That is a direction. That is a destination that they are trying to achieve. And you can look how Brother Branham would make a separation and would say that a pilgrim and a stranger is not the serpent seed. He says they are fugitives and vagabonds. And there's a difference between the two. And Brother Branham would get this from Genesis 4, I believe, whenever God would come to Cain and would say, "Where is your brother Abel?" And he would say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he would say, "The blood of your brother cries out against you." And he would put a mark on him and would say, "You're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond." So there's a difference between the bride and serpent seed. The bride is a sojourner, but the serpent seed is a fugitive and a vagabond. Because many times the devil places in our mind that we're a fugitive and a vagabond. Because if you look up that word fugitive and vagabond, what that means is to be tossed about. It has no direction. It's wandering. It's easily pushed over by wind. And so the devil wants us many times to think that's what we are. We have no direction. We have no future. But that is a lie from the pits of hell. You have a direction that you are striving for. And too many times it's easy to get settled in whenever we're in the promises of God. You can look at the children of Israel. Whenever before they came into the promised land, they had one direction, one mind, you know. But once they got into the promised land, what would they say? "Give us a king that we can be like the other nations." So it's easy when you get settled in to lose your ambition. It's easy when you get comfortable that you lose the drive and the passion for the things of God. But we have a future if we can just keep the right ambition. Not the ambitions of the world, not the ambitions of Laodicea, but have the right ambitions. Because the Bible would tell us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So that separates you from serpent seed, because you have an expectation that you're striving with. You see, serpent seed is they're wandering, trying to make a living here. But after they go by the way of the grave, what do they have? But the bride, you may go by the way of the grave, but you still have an expectation that God has given you. That if I do go by the way of the grave, the voice of the resurrection is going to call me out one day. So there's a future that we are striving for. And you can look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17. "Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." In other words, there's going to be some words that's going to give you a direction, and that can comfort you in the time of sorrow. That can comfort you whenever you feel like your back is against the wall. Comfort one another with these words that you have a future. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." So if you have a loved one that goes by the way of the grave, you sorrow, but you don't sorrow like them that don't have a direction. You see, when somebody goes by the way of the grave, they cry and they mourn. We're never going to see them again. But you don't mourn like them because you have a future. We don't mourn like them that don't have a hope. They're tottered. They're tossed back and forth. But the bride has a direction that if we do go by that way, there's going to be a future for us. Hallelujah. And so we have something that we are striving for. And too many times that the devil makes us feel like we don't have a future. And when we get that in our mind, we lose our ambition. And you remember the man that would knock on Brother Branham's door. He was a homeless man and would want something to eat. Brother Branham would give him a sandwich and would ask him, "Where are you from?" He would say, "Oh, nowhere." He would say, "Where are you going?" He says, "Oh, nowhere." He says, "Well, how long have you been doing this?" He says, "For about 20 years. He says, "Wherever my hat is resting, that's the place I call home." And Brother Branham says that man had no ambition to better himself. And he says, that's the way the church gets many times. He says a church that has no ambition to better themselves, he says, I don't have much hope for them. But I don't believe we have no direction. But there is an ambition that can anchor on the inside of our heart that is driving you. And an ambition is something that drives you. And I think it's incredible, because if you look, Brother Branham would start to describe it and would say, if you're a young man and a young woman, he says, you think of something in your mind and then it comes into the heart and then your ambition drives you to that. And I thought, oh my, that's in the natural. But the same thing happens in the supernatural. We take on the mind of Christ and it anchors in the heart. And then that ambition begins to drive you for the future that has been revealed to you. And I believe our ambition is one thing, and that is the word of the Lord. Is that your ambition this morning? You might not have many things you can point to, but you can point to one thing. That is, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never fail. And Brother Branham would tell us that. He would say, and talking to his wife, and she said, well, then we're not Americans. What are we? I said, our kingdom is of above. See, we are free. We're born again. The kingdom of God is within you. See, act like up there, you're delegates from there. I said, we're citizens here. We're living in the flesh, but our spirits, we're pilgrims and strangers. We're foreign to the world, even our own nation. For we have accepted the invitation when it knocked at our heart to become a part of Him, His Word. And that fixes us and makes us live and makes us act like Christians. And I love how Brother Branham puts it. In the flesh, we're citizens here, but our spirits, we belong to another kingdom. And Brother Branham would tell us, how do we get into the kingdom? By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And so our flesh is citizens of this country, but our spirit man, we're born from above. And I think it's incredible, because Brother Branham would tell us, how do we become a stranger and a pilgrim? He says we have accepted the invitation when the word knocks upon our heart. And so I believe that accepting the invitation of the Lord is more than a sinner's prayer. Because that's what the world has. And Jesus would even say this. This people draweth nigh with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me. And see, so there's a difference from confessing with your lips and opening up your heart when the word knocks and gives you an invitation. You see, because Brother Branham would tell us that the condition of the church is Revelations 3, where Jesus is on the outside of the church knocking, saying, if any man will hear my voice, let him open the door and I will sup with him and he with me. And Brother Branham says that's the condition of the church. So Christ is on the outside knocking, trying to get in. What is it? They're confessing with their lips that they're Christians. But while Christ is knocking on their heart, they're refusing the invitation of the word. And we can look at how the Bible would tell us that these things would come to pass. And Brother Branham would tell us that church members want a denominational filter so they can have their own desires or their own ambition. And so they're refusing the invitation of the word when it knocks upon their heart. You see, and if you look at Revelations 3, there's no claiming in that verse. I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him. That is a whosoever will. But you can look at John 10, where Jesus would say, my sheep will know hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. In other words, that's not a whosoever will. That is a claiming that my sheep is going to receive the invitation. Hallelujah. When I knock on their door, you see, they're going to open their heart and accept the word, for it's revealed in their hour. So while the church is conditioned by refusing the word, the bride is being conditioned by accepting the word. While the serpent seed is being conditioned for tribulation, you're getting ready for a rapture. You see, we're being conditioned while we accept the word. And it's incredible, because Brother Branham would tell us, if you want to see the condition of the church, he would say, look at the women. And he would say it's a women's world and women's rights. And he would say that that women would they rather have dogs and cats instead of having babies because it deforms their bodies and makes their bodies ugly. And he says, because they can't go to the clubs with a nursing baby. And he says, so is it today. He says, with the church. The church don't want these Acts 2:38 screaming, hollering, babbling children. But he says, that's the only kind that the word will produce. And he says, she's pregnated with something. Talking about the church. She's pregnated with something because she's bringing members all of the time. But she's pregnated with the wrong thing. But the bride has accepted the word. And she's pregnated with the word for this hour. And it's producing the life of Jesus Christ in this generation. Hallelujah. I think it's incredible because Brother Branham is describing the women, describing the church. And then he says this, notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage, just do anything they want to watch, the church is doing the same thing. Notice, but watch them, the spiritual bride, she begins to have a revival. When she begins to come back, lines herself up with the word of God, watch then again, you see how the scriptures at that time, there be a message sweep out to catch that bride, catch the woman elect. And it's incredible because Brother Branham would tell us that the bride is not the whosoever will. He would say the bride is the elected of God. The church goes through. That's the ones that says, whosoever will, let him come. But the bride is the elected of God. I love that because we might be a stranger in this world, but we are an elected stranger. We're not a whosoever will. And God has thrown the word out and hope you receive it. But he placed a seed on the inside of your heart that when the word would come across your path, there was a heart to accept the invitation. Hallelujah. And that is separating you and is placing you in your inheritance. As I quoted this earlier, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I like that verse because there's three things that really stood out to me. There's a claiming in the first part of that verse. My sheep hear my voice. And you see, you can look at John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And so it's a claiming. My sheep is going to hear my voice. The second part of that is, and I know them. So this message ain't coming to somebody that God hadn't seen already. The message came because he already seen you. He's seen you and predestinated you. And that's the reason he would send a message, because he would have to have a bride to accept the message. So he already seen you from before the foundation of the world. And Brother Branham would talk about the eagle. And would say when the eagle came across that chicken pen, he would say that that mama eagle would cry and would begin to scream. And baby eagle would respond to it. He says it was eagle to eagle. And so before he was ever in that chicken yard, he came from Mama Eagle. So that's why there was a response to Mama Eagle, because he came from him. Hallelujah. You can look at the prodigal son. I'm sure the prodigal son wasn't the only one working in the pig slop, but he was the only one that had a desire to go back to the Father. How come, Brother Josh? He came from the Father, and we come from God, and we're going back to God. There may have been many heard this message and refused it. It's because they didn't come from it, but you came from the thoughts of God, just like this word came from the thoughts of God. And it was eagle responding to eagle. And Brother Branham would tell us, it's word responding to word. He says he's an eagle to begin with. He recognizes, this real eagle recognizes the call of God's word. Why? He's an eagle to an eagle. The word before the foundation. He says the word to the word. The word predestinated to the word written for the hour. He says you realize your position. He hunts for it. And so it's incredible, the claiming power of the voice of God. My sheep will hear my voice. And Brother Branham would quote that scripture, and he would say, they know my word, they see it when it's vindicated for that age. So in other words, what Jesus is saying,
My sheep will hear my vindicated message. And I believe there is some sheep this morning that can say yea and amen. I have recognized the word for my generation. And Brother Branham would quote the parable that Jesus uses about the kingdom of heaven. It's like a fisherman. He throws out the net and he pulls in many things. And Brother Branham would dramatize it. And he would say that that net pulls in some water spiders. It pulls in some serpents. But it also pulls in the fish. And then he stops and he says that the water spider stays in there for about a week. But then he says, I have to give up my clubs. He jumps out back into the water. He says the serpent is in there for a little bit of time. And says, I have to give up my pants. He jumps out of the net. He says the net had nothing to do with him. It was already a water spider. And when he says that fish would stay in the net because that's what the net was after. Hallelujah. So this message didn't make you the bride. It came because you were the bride. It just brought out the potentials that was laying on the inside of your life. It would bring the potentials into manifestation. Because this message attracted many. Brother Branham would tell us the three pulls. The first pull attracted some. The second pull attracted some. But that third pull was only after the rainbow trap. Hallelujah. And the third pull, the opening of the word, is only after one. That is the bride of Jesus Christ that he foresaw from before the foundation of the world. So it's a claiming power over your life that the God has claimed you. My sheep will hear my voice. And there's a claiming that is taking place. And I think it's incredible how Brother Branham would say it's a trophy that the third pull is after. And Brother Branham, he would preach and say this many times. He would say, I claim everyone that hears this message. And he says to them that is here in the audience and them that will hear this tape. He would say many times, I claim them for trophies of your word. He would say, I claim them for trophies of your grace. He would say this here, I claim you tonight, Jesus, for you, Jesus, as your personal treasure, as gems in your crown, as members of your bride, I claim their lives. Brother Brown, he would say this here in one place. He would say, they've raised up their hands. They believe you. They believe on him that sent you. They're accepting the word, and I claim them. And Satan cannot be around them no more. I claim them for the gospel. So the claiming power of God, it rids or breaks the claims that the devil would have on your life. And that's why I believe Brother Branham preaches a bride age. Because the church is conditioned. Christ is on the outside of the church knocking, but not the bride. The bride has accepted the word. It breaks the claim of Laodicea. And then it places you in your inheritance where you can produce the promises in this generation. So when we're claimed by God, it breaks all of the claims that the devil has on our life. You remember the children of Israel? They were in the land of Goshen. But Goshen is a part of Egypt, right? And so when the death angel was coming through the land, while the death angel was taking over lives, taking over homes, destroying the firstborns, and the land of Goshen, they was living in arrest. They didn't have to worry, is my firstborn going to be saved? Even though they were in a land, they were separated. And even though we're in Laodicea, we've been separated into a bride age that when the death angel comes, hallelujah, it cannot come into your home because you're claimed by another. Hallelujah. You're claimed by another. That gives parents some confidence. I can claim my children and the world don't have to take them. I can claim my marriage and the devil don't have to take it. When the devil comes knocking on the door, just say, Satan, I'm claimed by another. I'm not claimed by Laodicea. I am claimed by the voice of Almighty God. My sheep will hear my voice and I know them. Hallelujah. And I say, I know my God. Them that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. I believe there's a bride upon the earth that knows their God. And they're doing exploits of faith. Hallelujah. I don't believe God is the God of history books. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe he can still heal the sick. He can still fill with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He can still transform lives. He's still the God of miracles. Hallelujah. You believe that this morning, that he can so claim your life. That Brother Branham says a man can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with him. That's the claim and power of this word. It brings you into a secret place of Almighty God where it's just you and him. The world can do what it wants to do on the outside, but it's a soundproof room. Hallelujah. And so there's a separation. You can look at Exodus 8 and 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. And see, there was a separation. There was a claiming that my people is not going to partake of the plagues. And you, Brother Branham, would say, didn't Jesus say in the last days, Matthew 24 and 24, the two would be so close that it would deceive the very genes, the predestinated, the elected ones, if it was possible, almost like the real thing, see? So in the last days now, you see, it's wheat time now. It's getting harvest time. This is not Luther's age. This is not Pentecostal age. This is the bright age. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, Christ today is calling a church out of a church. You see, the same thing in type. So just like Moses was bringing a nation out of a nation, so is this word today bringing a church out of a church. And so what is this place that we are dwelling in? I believe it's the bright age. It's a place where we've been separated. You look at Revelations, you know, separate yourself and be not partakers of her sins. Receive not of her plagues. And what was making the separation? It was a voice saying, be separated. Come out of her, my people. Not any people, but come out of her, my people. And so it's a claiming. And Brother Branham would say this here, that there was only one place that the death angel could not get into whenever the death angel was coming through the land of Egypt. He would say it wasn't a home, it was a place. And I thought that is so good. You see, they may have been in different locations, but they was under the same place. And Brother Branham would tell us it was the blood of the Lamb. So they all wasn't in the same home, but they were in the same place. We might not all go to the same church, but we're in the same place. We might not be in the same location. You might be in Arizona. I might be in Oklahoma. But we are in the same place. It's called a bright age. It's separating us and placing us into our inheritance. And so Brother Branham would tell us that he would quote that the blood of Abel cried out against Cain. And he would refer back to the book of Hebrews, I believe, that the voice of Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And Brother Branham would tell us that the blood has a voice. And he says the voice of the blood is the word. And I really like that, because the devil had claims on our lives. He had claims on our marriages. He had claims on our children. But there's a voice that is speaking better things than that the claims had. It was a generational curse. And I believe generational curses are a genuine thing. They can be passed from one generation to another. Lust can be passed from one generation to another. Adultery can be passed. And these things are generational claims that the devil has on our lives. But the voice of the word is speaking better things than that of the claims that the devil has out on our lives. Hallelujah. And you can look at generational curses. You remember that it was Abraham that would tell Sarah, tell the king of Gerar that you're my sister. And it's incredible, because it was the next generation. Now it's Isaac that is going into the land of Gerar, I believe. And he tells his wife, tell him you're my sister. I never noticed that until recently. It was passed down to the next generation. But I believe we've got some cycle breakers today that is not under the claims of the enemy, where we're passing down things and receiving things. But the word has broke every claim on our lives, that we can say yea and amen to every promise. I've been separated for his name's sake. Hallelujah. My sheep know my voice, and I know them. And the third part of that verse is, and they follow me. Hallelujah. Not anybody can follow the Lord, but the ones that is predestinated. Hallelujah. Remember whenever Jesus would say, eat my flesh and drink my blood, The 70 were leaving. He's a vampire. He's wanting us to drink his blood and eat his flesh. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, will you lead me also? And what would Peter say? Where would we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. You know what Brother Branham would say? They didn't understand what Jesus meant, but they believed it. You might not understand everything that this word says, but I'm a sheep and I'm following it. Hallelujah. You're going to follow something. Brother Branham would tell us the sheep is going to be led by something. And I say, as for me and my house, I'm going to follow this word. Let them turn against me. Let them say this message is false. But there's a heart to receive and a heart to follow it. Hallelujah. I'm sure that's your ambition as well. I've got one ambition. That is the word or nothing. And the Bible would tell us here in John 10:5. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And I think that's an incredible thing, because if you're a stranger to the world, then the world's a stranger to you. You see, too many times the world's not a stranger to you, because you're not a stranger yet yourself. Oh, come on now. That's why you're trying to fit in. That's why young people, they try to dress a certain way, act a certain way, listen to certain kinds of music, because they're wanting to fit in, because they're not a stranger yet. But let me say this, there's still a power called the baptism of the Holy Ghost that can take control of a young person, and it makes you a stranger to the world, and the world is a stranger to you. A stranger they will not follow. And so I don't want the word to be a stranger. Come on now, because you remember the two that walked on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says they were talking about how they thought he was the Messiah. And they were talking about Scripture, but they failed to identify that they're living in Scripture being fulfilled. And Jesus walks, and the Bible says that Jesus himself drew near. I thought that's powerful, because the same thing has happened today. Christ himself showed his hand. You know, so Jesus himself walks near unto them and says, what manner of communications are these that ye are sad? So here they're talking about the word, but it's not bringing a positive effect, because they can't identify it's for today. And what would they say to Jesus? They look at Jesus and they would say this here, are you a stranger in these parts? Oh my. And so instead of them welcoming the word, they held him as a stranger. And too many times we do that. Christ is walking with us, and instead of being a stranger to the world, we're a stranger to the word. Come on now. But you know what the Bible says? That Jesus rebuked them and said, oh fools and slow of heart to receive all that the prophets have spoken. And he goes through the scripture. And what is so incredible to me is it was the evening time, and Jesus acted as if he was going to walk by the house. And the Bible says they constrained him and says, come in with us. And as he came in, he would break the bread. Well, Brother Branham would tell us, what did that mean when they said, come in with us? Brother Branham says, right there, they received the word. They received the invitation when the word was knocking on their heart. And I think it's powerful, because Jesus would break the bread. Their eyes would come open and would say, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us? So they went from talking about him to him talking to them. Hallelujah. And that would change their communication of bringing a sadness to putting a fire on the inside. And I'm not preaching a gospel that we just talk about a God, but this God talks back to you. Hallelujah. And it's powerful, because they would say, did not a heart burn within us as he talked with us along the way? If you look at that word way, it means journey. Hallelujah. So they were on their journey, and they were discouraged, because they thought the word had failed. They thought the word was powerless. But when that word talked back to them in their journey, then there was a fire that I'm living in Scripture being fulfilled. And I say, let the word talk to you this morning along your journey. You might feel like God's forsaken you, that he's left you, but in reality, he has come down in this generation and he's walking with you. Let him talk to you. Let him encourage you. Let him put a fire on the inside of your heart. Because you know what the Bible tells us next? These two men then would go to the disciples, and they would tell what Jesus said to them along their way. And I love that. So now they're expressing what God did in their journey. And as they're talking to the disciples, the Bible says that Christ appeared and said, "Peace be unto you." And I thought, oh my, you in peace in the midst of your situation, let him come in the midst of it. Come on now, you may say, "I've got a rebellious teenager. I don't know how he's going to get back saved. I don't know how the Lord can get a hold of him." But let him come in the midst of your situation and bring a peace. Hallelujah. Bring a peace that you can know no matter how far he runs. God has got his number. Come on, we need some more parents like that, that we're claiming our children. And I remember growing up, and I was blessed to have a godly parents, my father and mother. And I remember Dad telling me all the time, he would say, "Son, you're going to do good things. You're going to do great things. The Lord's going to use you in a mighty way." And then he would say this to me, "God didn't give me serpent seed." He says, "You're not serpent seed. You're a son of God." And that was the parent claiming my life. Maybe when I didn't see it for myself, when I was going through my rebellious teenagers and I didn't know if I was good enough to make a rapture, I had a parent that heard the voice of God and said, "Satan, you can't have him. I claim him for the glory of God." We need some more parents like that. But you might not understand how God can save them. Claim them anyways. Satan, you can't have them. You can't destroy their life. You can't wreck their, you cannot destroy that seed on the inside of them. I claim them. Hallelujah. Do you claim them this morning? I say right now, claim our children. I say claim your healing. Claim your deliverance. Whatever you have need of, I say claim it. Hallelujah. Because the voice of the blood speaks better things than that of the voice of the enemy. Hallelujah. And the voice of the blood is his word. Oh my. And so I believe it's time that we start speaking the word of the Lord. How come, Brother Josh? Because we've come of age. That's what this message has come to do. It's come to mature you under the word that you can be placed in your position. You can look at Moses in Hebrews 11 and 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I thought that was a powerful thing because it wasn't necessarily his the number of his age, but he come to maturity. And as he come to maturity, he chose another ambition. Hallelujah. He says, "I'm refusing the identity of Pharaoh's daughter, and I'm accepting another identity." And I believe that that is what is happening with the bride of Christ. You're maturing under the word of this generation, and it's bringing you to age that you can speak the word for yourself. You remember whenever Jesus would heal the blind man and open up his eyes. The Bible says the Jews would go to his parents and would say, "Is this your son?" They say, "Yep, it's him." They would ask him, "How did he receive his sight?" What would they say? "Ask him. He's of age." Hallelujah. In other words, don't ask us. He's mature enough to speak for himself. And what would that man say? "He may be a sinner. I don't know. But all I know is I was blind, but now I see." That is a mature individual. You might go through some hard things and the devil comes with doubt, but you're of age. And you may say, "I don't know if it's false or not. Whatever you say, all I know is it changed my life. All I know is it claimed me. It fixed my marriage. It set a fire on the inside. I was blind, but now I see. I'm of age. Let me speak." I think it's time that we start speaking positive things, not negative things. Positive things. Speak positive things over your children. Speak positive things over your marriage. Speak positive things over your home, over the church. Let negativity get out of your mouth and speak the promises of God. "I am going to make a rapture. I am going to see a body change. My children is going to be saved. My marriage is going to last the course of time." Speak positive things because the word is a positive gospel. This word is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing that can claim every situation. Hallelujah. I say, you want a revival? Claim your revival. You want a revival in your marriage? Claim that revival in your marriage. Hallelujah. It's a positive token, Brother Branham would say. It's a positive token. And it's a true token. You remember whenever the children of Israel was coming around Jericho, the Bible would say there were some spies that would go into the walls of Jericho. And there was a lady named Rahab. She was a prostitute. And she would say, I heard what you done to the kings. I heard how you split the Red Sea. I heard these things. And then she stopped and says, give me a true token that my house can be saved. And it's powerful because not just her, but she says, I want my mother saved. I want my father saved. I want my siblings saved. And she required one thing. Give me a true token. Not a watered down religion. This message is not a watered down religion, but it's something positive. It's something true that you can claim your house. Oh, and you can look at Rahab. Rahab should have been another statistic. Right? Because she was on the walls of Jericho that was cursed. We're living in Laodicea, which is cursed. You should be another statistic. Come on, now you should be another one that the marriages end up in divorce. You should have another child that goes into the world and the statistics show that the boys look at pornography and get in the drugs and get in the smoking. There's statistics out there, but there's also a true token that can break the statistics. Oh, back home we have... I hope this is okay. Back home, we have two young men. They've been here, Sister Kalila. We have two young men that their father left him whenever they were just born. And it's incredible because they should have been another statistic. Hallelujah. They should have been another statistic. They should have went out into the world. They should have been out in drugs. They should have left home and been rebellious. But you know what would happen today? They're both musicians. Hallelujah. They're the first ones to jump in and work in the church. They're the first ones to offer and do anything for people. While there was a statistic over their lives, a true token, hallelujah, would break the claim of statistics and would say, I've got something positive for you. Oh, you might be from a broken home, but I say there's a claim of a true token that can break the statistics over your life. Hallelujah. It's a true token. It's something positive. Hallelujah. And I believe that the bride is of age. And Brother Branham would tell us that the final, she would be the final voice of the final generation under her messenger. So she's not speaking her own things. She's speaking what is already said. Remember John, prophesy again. Take the book, eat the book, prophesy again. In other words, he was only saying what the book said. Come on, this ain't a prosperity gospel where you're just speaking this and speaking that and speaking this. But Brother Branham would say that he comes with his word, she receives his word, she accepts it, receives it, never doubts it, and she has the mind of Christ, and she knows what he wants done with the word. So you're not just wandering around babbling and trying to speak this and speak that, but you're picking up the word. And as the word is inspired through your heart, you're of age. And you begin to speak the promises of God, and they begin to materialize. Come on, Hattie, right? What do you have need of? Oh, my brother Brandon was talking about the squirrels that he spoke into existence. And there was a young lady or a lady that had children that were lost. And she would hear the word, and it would knock on her heart. And she would say, that's nothing but the truth. Brother Brandon didn't stop and say, hey, the greater works is just for me. He didn't stop and say, hey, the third pull is just for me. He didn't stop and say, I got to come again, get a tent. I got to ride this trail again. You got to hang on. But he stopped and he says, what do you have need of? Come on, the greater works is in the bride. Hallelujah, this third pull is in the bride. You're of age. Speak the promises of God and watch them materialize. Hallelujah. The bride has come of age, and what's that? What that means is she's being adopted into the kingdom of God, where she's a possessor of all things. And Brother Branham would tell us that when a boy was born, he was born into a family by birth, but then in order to be heir of everything, he had to be adopted. Right? And so adoption, I believe, is not your new birth. You're born into the family of God, but now you gotta be placed into your inheritance. And Brother Branham would say this here, that if that child was obedient, then there's a set certain day when he become of age. And this is powerful. But the Brandon then would say this here. Now the Pentecostal church ought to be of age, 40 years old or better, about 15, should be of age. Should be of age, but Brother Branham would say in one place that the Pentecostals, they should be of age, but they denominated, and out of there he called his sons. Hallelujah. That's why we're in a bride age. We're not Pentecostals. We're the bride. The Pentecostals pulled away, but then the life could come forth. Hallelujah. I'm not a part of that age. I'm a part of a bride age. And Brother Branham, but he continues on. There comes a day when that son becomes, he's going to be adopted. And then he says, placed. Your brethren, I'm trying to say placing of a son. You understand what I mean? He's got to be placed. Positionally, he becomes heir. Now they take him out on the streets. They put a garment or a certain garment on him, and they have a ceremony. And after the ceremony, this child is placed or adopted into the same family that he is born in. And his name is just as good on the check as his daddy is. He says, right. He falls heir. He's positionally placed. Hallelujah. So what's it mean to be adopted? It means your name is as good as God's name. Where you can speak with authority. Like God said, let there be light. You can pick up the word and speak it. And the same creative power that would change the atmospheres of the earth can change the atmospheres in your home. Hey, I believe Brother Branham would say we're miniature creators. You can change the atmosphere. What is it? You have authority because you've come of age. You've been ripening under the word. And Brother Branham would tell us that in the beginning, God was God alone. But then he says in Genesis 2, he becomes Jehovah. And he says, what did that mean? He isn't self-existent anymore, but now he exists with a family. So it ain't just God alone up in a universe somewhere, but now as a Jehovah, he's existing in his people. Brother Branham would tell us it was an anointed man. Now it's an anointed body. It was a one-man ministry. Now it's a multi-member ministry. You've got the same voice. You see, Brother Branham, he would say here, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father. Or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See, John 5 and 19. So will the bride. He shows her his word of life. He shows her. She receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. He says, here is the secret. The word is in the bride. She has the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. She does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. And so Brother Branham is telling us that she knows what he wants done with the word. And Brother Branham would talk about Benjamin Franklin. He would say he discovered electricity and would say, I got it, I got it, I got it. Brother Branham says he knew he had something, but he didn't know what he had. But he says then Thomas Edison would come along and would create the light bulb. He didn't just know he had something, but he knew how to operate it. You see, and I believe this bride ain't just saying, I got a word, I got a message, I got a message. But you know how to operate that message. You know how to put it into action. And Brother Branham would tell us that she does it in his name. And what's so special about the name? And Brother Branham, when he would teach us that your name characterizes you, right? He says, if you have a son that is Ricky or Elvis, he would say, change the name. Because that name characterizes you. And you can look through the Bible. Jacob would be changed to Israel. And Simon would be changed to Peter. Saul to Paul. And then Brother Branham at the opening of the seals would say, I'm not going to call you church, but I'm going to call you bride. What is that? What was that? He was placing you in your position. And the Bible would tell us that in the book of Acts, that God would take a people out of the Gentiles for his name's sake. And I believe we're living in that time today where he has claimed us for his name's sake. And it's powerful because in the Strong's Concordance, the definition of name means reputation, fame, or glory. And the glory of the Lord shall rise upon thee and shall be seen on thee. Arise and shine. What is it? He's claiming you for his name. Hallelujah. And as you take on his name, you take on his life. You see, because you can mention some people's name, and what pops up is a reputation. Right? You know, working, I'm an electrician by trade, and so back home you can mention some plumber's name, and contractors will be like, ooh, I used him before. What was it? That name brought up a reputation. Brother Jude, he's the best sound guy out there. You can mention his name, his reputation comes up. Right? And so when we take on the name of the Lord, we take on his reputation. Hallelujah. And it's incredible because you can look at Zacchaeus. The Bible would tell us that he desired to see Jesus and who he was. So he didn't want to just see the man, the body of Jesus, but there was a reputation that he wanted to see. And the Bible says that when Jesus came to his house, what would happen? The body of Jesus left, but that glory would remain. The Bible would tell us that Zacchaeus, he would do all, he would go to everyone he'd done wrong and make his wrongs right. What was it? That reputation would begin to change him. Hallelujah. And I believe this message has a power to change us. It has a power to change our motives. It has a power to change our ambitions. If you have to forgive, you'll forgive. Oh, I'm preaching now. If you have to go to that one person that done you wrong, maybe spoke against you, and you have to forgive, you're of age. So you give the forgiveness. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. You're of age. You're of age. You're under the glory of the Lord. Hey, hallelujah. I know what it's like. I'm a pastor's kid. Oop. I ought to stop my timer. So now we're starting all over. I'm a pastor's kid. I'll just get open here for a minute. I'm a pastor's kid. I know what it's like, you know, dad getting up and preaching on Sundays and Wednesdays and everybody shouting and rejoicing, and the same people that is dancing the aisles is now cussing him out behind the doors. I've been there. I've seen the ones. I've been there where dad works with people. Then they turn around and threaten to kill me. Threaten to kill my mom, threaten to kill my brothers, threaten to kill my dad. I've been there. It's hard to forgive sometimes. But I also know what it's like for the grace of God to come and work on my heart. I know what it's like when you don't trust nobody. Hallelujah. Where it's hard to trust. It's hard to take somebody's word for it, for what they're saying. But I know what it's like for the grace of God to come and change a heart where I can forgive, where I can trust. It's hard sometimes for a spouse to trust each other because of hurts in the past. But let me say this. You've come of age. You've been ripening under the word of the hour. Let the glory of the Lord change the hurts. I believe the glory of the Lord can mend broken hearts and put marriages back together. It can bring a trust into a heart where you can trust your spouse, your husband, or your wife once again. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the glory of the Lord that can change situations. And Moses would want to see the glory of the Lord. He was in Exodus 33 and 18. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so at the proclaiming of his name, there was going to be a different part of God that they hadn't seen before. They knew he was a God of judgment, but now he was going to be a God of mercy. He was going to be a God of grace. Now what's powerful to me is it was a claiming. It wasn't for anybody. He says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So this mercy ain't just for anybody. It's for the ones I'm choosing to give it to. And could you imagine whenever the death angel was coming through the land of Egypt, and the death angel would take Pharaoh's firstborn, and if you're a king would be like, man, how am I going to stop this? How am I going to keep this from going throughout my kingdom? And I think it's incredible because Brother Branham would tell us that hyssop, right? The Bible says they dipped the hyssop into the blood of the lamb, put it over the doorpost. And Brother Branham would tell us that hyssop was a common weed in Palestine. And I thought, okay, here's something common. Little did Pharaoh know the very answer to his solution was amongst them, but he couldn't see it. How come it wasn't revealed to him? Oh, but there was somebody in the land of Goshen that I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. While Pharaoh was looking for a solution, the solution was revealed through grace by the proclaiming of God's name. Hallelujah. Brother Branham would say that hyssop is a type of your faith. It's simple faith. Well, the world, their mind is going insane. They're getting conditioned for a tribulation. They're trying to find the answer to their problems. But there's something so simple in their midst that is called faith. But they can't see it because God didn't choose to reveal it to them. But God chose you to give His mercy. God chose you to give His grace. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And it was the proclaiming of His name. And it's incredible because Brother Branham would tell us that through the Old Testament, God had many titles. He would say Jehovah Jireh. He would say Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright Morning Star. He says those were titles. But when Jesus came, what would Jesus say? I come in my Father's name. So He didn't come in a title. He came in the name. And what would that name do? It would bring a separation from the sin nature. Because the Bible would tell us that the blood of bulls and goats would forgive you. It would push that sin off another year. But when Christ came, that blood brought a remission. What is a remission? It's a separation. So by the proclaiming of that name, He would bring a separation from the claim of the sin nature. Same thing today, Brother Branham would say this here. And the name is the Word, because He is the Word, amen. What is He then? The Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. That's why the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. How are you running into it? The manifestation of the name of God is the interpretation of His Word. And that's why we've been given in this generation is the interpretation of the Word of the Lord, which is the manifestation of His name. So that's how you take on His name and His place in you, is when you're accepting the invitation of the Word, and it starts to place you in your inheritance, and it's bringing you of age where you can speak for yourself. Hallelujah. You can speak for yourself, and I won't hold you much longer. I really don't know how long I've been up here, but it's given me a few more minutes. We can look at Abraham, and whenever God would change Abraham's name, and I hope this is okay this morning. When God would change Abraham's name, He wasn't changing it to make it sound better, right? But He was changing His name to change His reputation. Hallelujah, because Abram was fatherless. But Brother Branham would tell us what would happen. It was Elohim coming to humanity, which would be Abraham. Hallelujah, so what that name changed was a change of reputations. It was a change of fatherless, the father of nations. And the Bible would tell us we're born speaking lies. We're shaped in iniquity. We have an evil reputation. But by taking on His name, we take on His reputation. And Brother Branham would tell us that Abraham is a type of the church. He would say, do you love the journey with Abraham? I just love it. Watch it. He says, because why? Everything that he did was a perfect type of the church. And he would tell us that Abraham was called by grace. He says, not because he was a different person, not because he had much to offer. He says he was just a farmer. And what I think is incredible about the story of Abraham is, Brother Branham would tell us that he lived in a city that was like a suburb of Babylon. Right? And Brother Branham would tell us that if there's any type of denominationalism in the Bible, he says it's Babylon. He says because it was a forced religion. He says everybody had a cup to the Tower of Babel to worship. So if they wasn't coming to the Tower of Babel, they couldn't worship. And what I think is incredible, we can see that today, denominationalism, if you don't believe the way I believe, you're not welcome. And I remember, I was a teenager, me and my buddy was eating at our local pizza store, you know, pizza place. And we're sitting there, and I think it was the Baptists. We're having they do a prison ministry. And there's a bunch of them, they're in there talking about it, and me and Nathaniel were eating. And we know everybody in town, and one of the ladies there came up to me and says, hey, you want to join a prison ministry? I said, absolutely. I've been wanting to do something like that. She says, okay, hang on. Let me go get my pastor. The pastor comes over. He brings a list of requirements. Says, you have to agree with all this stuff. I looked, and I said, well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this. He says, how come? So I started to explain it to him, and he stops, and he says, who invited you? I said, nobody. I was just here eating. He says, okay, well, you have a good day. Since I didn't believe like him, come on, it's a forced religion, just like Babylon. But what's incredible is here Abraham was in a forced religion, but then grace would come and would say, separate yourself. Come out of that land. I'm going to show you a place to go. You may have been in a forced religion. You may be in a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Pentecostal, but the same grace that would call Abraham is the same grace that will call you and say, separate yourself. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins and of her plagues. Hallelujah. So it was grace by election that would call Abraham. And whenever I heard Brother Branham say that, that he's a type of the church, it gave me a different perspective of the life of Abraham. And my mind's simple, but it changed the way I see. I started to see myself in every part of Abraham's journey. Because Brother Branham would break it down in the message called Abraham's Grace Covenant, I think is what it's titled. Brother Branham would give us the four stages of Abraham's journey. He would say in Genesis 12, God calling Abraham, he would say that's justification, which is Luther. He says in Genesis 15, God confirming the covenant, which was when he would separate the animals, Abraham would, and God would come and walk in the midst of it. He says that was sanctification, which was Wesley. He says Genesis 17:1, he says with El Shaddai, the strength giver, he says, which is the Holy Ghost, which he says, which is Pentecost. But then in Genesis 17:5, he says that's Abraham's name change, and he says, which is his adoption. And I started to see myself that God has been working through the journey of the church. He's been working. He's been building. But in this generation, he didn't just justify you. He didn't just sanctify you. He didn't just fill you with the Holy Ghost. But he would change your name. He would place you in your inheritance where your name is as good as God's name. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, in everything you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. So that ain't just the location of a church, but you've been gathered in his name. That means when you're at work, you're in the name. When you're at school, you're in the name. When you're at home washing dishes of women, you are in the name. And where that name is, where you're gathered at, that's the authority of Almighty God. Hallelujah. So when Abraham's name would be changed, then the promise could be fulfilled. Not a minute before. But when his name was changed, then the promise could be fulfilled. Then the body change could happen. Oh, our name's been changed. What's next, Brother Josh? It's time for a rapture. It's time to step out of time and into eternity. I say it's time that our sojourning is almost over with. Come on now, we've been sojourning for a long time. We've been strangers for a long time. But now we belong to another kingdom. I believe it was the Apostle Paul would say, you're no longer strangers, but now you're fellow citizens of the household of faith. Hallelujah, we're no longer strangers. Now we know our God. You see, because many times we feel like we're strangers to God. God's forsaken us. God's forgot about us. But Brother Branham will talk about the Jews. And 144,000, right? Coming out of all the tribes. Brother Branham will say that the Jews have lost their records. He says they have no proof of whose lineage they belong to. But he stops and he says this, but God knows them. Hallelujah. They might not know who they are, who they belong to, but God knows the 144,000. And if God knows them, what about you? He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to forget your name, because your name is now his name. Brother Branham would say that the marriage certificate is this open book. And I thought that was a powerful thing, because he says we died in our name and we raised in his name. Where our name, he would tell us that any good son, any son comes in the Father's name. And he says, that's why Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. But he says, now the bride comes in the Father's name. And he says, the marriage certificate is this open book. So what's proof to the devil that you're already claimed this message? Hallelujah. The devil can come and say, you're a nobody, to show him who you are in this message. And say, the bride, you see the bride? That's me. The rapturing generation, yep, that's me. It's my marriage certificate. It's proof that God has claimed me. Can you give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Point it back to a positive word. Point it back and say, Satan, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let our musicians come this morning. Greater is he. Hallelujah. My. Brother Branham was saying, now your name is put in the new book, the book of life. But the Lamb's book of life, what the book redeemed, right, which is this book, open book, not the old book of your natural union, but your new, your bride. He says, hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. He says, your marriage certificate. He says, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Well, you're not just only forgiven, but you're justified. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're not just forgiven. Hallelujah. Because many times we feel like, man, I'm a failure. I make mistakes. And you can look at Sarah. Her name would be changed from Sarai to Sarah. Brother Branham would say Sarah was her princess name. Yeah. I thought, yeah, that's so good. You know. Here, our name has been changed. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. It's our princess name. So Brother Branham, or the Bible would tell us that it was after Sarah's name was changed that the Elohim would come, right? And is talking to Abraham and say, where's your Sarah? Where's your wife? Sarah. And I'm going to come according to the time of life. You're going to have the baby. And Sarah in the tent behind would laugh. Not Sarai, Sarah. And here the Lord would say, why did Sarah laugh? Not Sarai. Why did Sarah laugh? It was after the name change. Sometimes the flesh still gets weak. Come on now. I can just imagine condemnation, you know. Oh, man, I done wrong. He knows my thoughts. Brother Branham says that God would have killed Sarah, but he first had to kill Abraham. Oh, my. The name change don't do away with your mistakes. We still make mistakes. But you look in the book of Hebrews, in the Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Faith there, the Bible says that by faith, Sarah, not Sarai, but by faith, Sarah staggered not. Nothing to do with her laughing. The only thing the book of records showed was her faith and her name change. Hallelujah. I love how you said it there in New Mexico. When man fell in the beginning, the book went back to God, not to Satan. So Satan never had the book. It came from God back to us. And so your mistakes can never get on that book because Satan never had it in the first place. Hallelujah. And so the book, this open book is our marriage certificate. The only thing it shows is you are united with Him. None of your mistakes, none of your failures, nothing that you've done in the past. The only thing it shows is your faith and your name change. Are you thankful for that this morning? Amen. What are we going to sing? You got a song, brother? All right, let's go ahead and sing it. Amen. Can we stand to our feet this morning? You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's sing a song and I'll turn it over to our pastor. Amen. I trust something was said to be a blessing this morning. Amen.